The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games, and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is continuing live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Okay. At the request of counsel, have you reviewed some material regarding the case of Maya Kowalski, this case?
Yes.
Okay. And can you just give the jury a general description of what you've reviewed?
Medical records from a whole variety of sources. I'm sure at least 40 more various transcripts of depositions, particularly this is the main things that I recall. There's various other miscellaneous stuff, communications, maybe the mother had emails and things, and I think at some point I'd actually seen some videos.
All right. Let me ask you specifically: have you reviewed the materials that Dr. Sally Smith obtained and accumulated in her role in this case?
Yes.
And have you reviewed the medical records of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital?
Yes.
Have you reviewed various medical records regarding care rendered to Maya Kowalski by a number of other physicians?
Yes.
And have you reviewed you indicated you reviewed somewhere north of 40-some-odd depositions. Did those include Dr. Sally Smith's several depositions?
Yes.
And have you also reviewed a transcript for testimony in this case from the last few days?
Yes.
All right. Based on your review of this material, have you arrived at any opinion or conclusion regarding whether Dr. Smith's conduct in this case was within her role as a child protection team medical director?
I have an opinion, yes.
And what is that opinion?
That it is. That I think that she was following what I would expect a CPT physician to do.
All right. And now, would you tell us the basis for your opinion in that regard?
Well, I mean, it's the way we work with the child protection team. I'm not sure on your question. I mean, in terms of she was contacted, she started looking into the case. There were several reports called in, one that was finally accepted, and then she went ahead and did a report, looked at the case in depth, looked at multiple sources and wrote a CPT report, which is what we're supposed to do. And then she was available to help, you know, with any questions anyone had.
Gotcha. Let me ask you several questions more specifically about that.
Objection, Your Honor. Report.
I'm not going to talk about the report.
I don't think there's a pending question at this moment.
Okay.
So I want to hear the next question.
Sure.
Okay, you made reference to Dr. Smith being contacted, and I believe that took place in a phone call from Dr. Tepa Sanchez initially.
Right.
Is that type of phone call something that CPT members typically receive from physicians in the community?
Objection, Your Honor.
Court's going to overrule the objection.
Do you remember the question, or would you
like for me? I'd like it repeated. Thank you.
Okay. We made reference to a call that Dr. Tepa Sanchez initially made to Dr. Smith regarding Maya Kowalski, and for reference, I think the proof is that it occurred on or about October 8th of 2023. Was based on your review of the materials you reviewed. Is that call the sort of contact from a hospital staff member that a community, that a CPT medical director might typically receive?
Yes.
Okay, would you explain that, please?
Well, I've had those calls. I just had a staff member have that call yesterday. It's not limited to just child abuse. I mean, doctors, we talk to each other and say, hey, can I run something by you? And is this something that I should pursue or not pursue? And so that would be a pretty typical sort of thing. It's not the same as I've made a report to DCF and now let's do a formal evaluation. This is the pre-stuff, if you will, where you're trying to figure out, is there enough here that I should even pursue this?
Okay. And once Dr. Smith became involved with an investigation, was it within her duties as a medical director of a child protection team to consult with the medical team regarding the patient's status and condition going forward?
Also, the conclusion of
To determine, you know, what advice they can give as far as is this a child abuse situation, you don't have to prove it. You just have to say, is there enough here to make a report? Are you suspicious? And so that would be within the scope. Again, for us to do formal reports, start interviewing and doing exams and everything else, that requires that DCF reports made to the hotline and accepted, and then we get involved.
In reviewing the materials that you have gone through, and there seems to have been quite a passel of them, did you see any indication that Dr. Smith was functioning as part of the treatment team for Maya Kowalski?
No. I think she was given some advice on occasion, but she wasn't a treating physician, though.
All right. Is giving advice on occasion, as you described, part of the function of a child protection team medical director in a situation such as this?
It is.
And tell us why that is.
Well, we don't just drop the case, it's sort of like, thank you for the thing, here's a report, and goodbye. I mean, we're still the resource in the community to help out for things. Not the treating physician, because then you'd have to sign medical charts and have your name there and all that. We don't do that. But But to be able to help people as they're trying to figure things out, yeah, you can give us a call.
Is that part, in your experience, as a current CPT medical director and past statewide medical director, is that part of the job, so to speak, of a child protection team medical director with respect to a sheltered child such as Maya Kowalski?
Yes. I mean, it can be. It depends if they have any questions, in essence. You know, can we be of assistance?
What other functions did Dr. Smith serve in this case with reference to Ms. Kowalski and coordination of her care?
Well, she did a CPT evaluation. She was available to people at the hospital and in the community for any questions that they had as to what she thought was going on or advice that she could give. I think that's pretty much it.
All right. I believe that's all I have right now. Thank you, sir.
Dr. Did I hear you correctly that you have two roles? You have a role as a pediatrician and then a role with CPT?
I have lots of roles.
Okay.
What you're saying is true, but there's a lot more to it.
Okay. How many hats do you have? How many hats do you wear, I should say?
Well, so my division is about a $7 million operation. We have probably 15 or more funding sources, and I'm in the administration of a number of those, so I have that hat. I help with Wilson Children's Hospital, which is our children's hospital in Jacksonville. As I said, I'm the fellowship program director. Just in the university, I see children. I deal with Daytona and Tallahassee teams. And then I'm involved nationally and statewide with a number of things. I chair the Child Abuse Committee, for instance, for the Florida Chapter American Academy of Pediatrics, and I'm on the board now for that organization. And
these are all jobs?
A number of other things.
These are all jobs? I mean, like, jobs you get paid for?
I get paid by the University of Florida.
Okay. And so you have many, many jobs in addition to working for DCF.
I don't work for DCF.
Sorry, CPT.
Yeah, the child protection team is, again, the University of Florida, but the funding, partial funding, comes through the Department of Health.
All right. Well, you would agree with me that Dr. Smith's role in this did not include inserting herself into the care and treatment of Maya Kowalski.
Sure.
All right. Let me show you, can we bring up 1001-0373? And if you'll, excuse me, let's not do that one, I'm sorry. Wrong one. 2116-002. Let's go to the text. 2116-002. Now, if you look at 15 down there, you see it? And that's from Sally Smith. And it's to a Paola Dees. Do you recognize her as a doctor at Johns Hopkins?
Right, in my review.
And so this is Dr. Smith talking to Dr. Dees, right, in a text.
Right.
And here Dr. Smith is telling Dr. Dees, get her off as many meds as possible. That is not part of the role that Dr. Smith should have as an investigator, is it?
Well, she's not an investigator. To say that's really not a fair description of what we are. Second of all, if that's advice in terms of how you might handle these situations, it is her role to give advice. If she's the one that actually does it, then she'd be a treating physician. But as you pointed out, I think she's, you know, she's talking to someone else.
All right. Well, let's look at 116-005. And let's go down to number 35. We can. That's, yeah. 005, and let's go down to 35. We got it. Now, do you recognize this as a text in November of 2016 from Sally Smith to Paola Dees again?
Yes.
Did it come to your attention that Dr. Smith ordered or directed to be ordered a 48-hour video, if you will, surveillance video without knowledge of Maya Kowalski? Were you aware of that?
I wasn't aware that she did the order. I would imagine that some other physician did the order.
And then she says here, fortunately, as a 10-year-old, she can't perform the charade effectively 24/7. Do you see that?
I do.
That's not part of the role. And what is she? Is she an investigator, a prosecutor? What is she?
Well, as you know, she's none of those. She's the CPT physician that's giving advice to the team.
And so you're contending that she is not part prosecutor in this role?
Well, of course she's not the prosecutor. You have to be a lawyer to do that and go to court.
And are you contending she's not an investigator?
Right. Investigator is a term we might use with police or DCF. Now, the fact that we ask questions, if you want to label it that, but we don't consider it that way in medicine.
Well, how about if she's referred to as the head of our team? Say, our child abuse team. That's not part of a role, heading up a hospital's team, is it?
I don't think the hospital has a team. She's the child protection team is independent of the hospital.
I'm just asking you if, in fact, doctors at the hospital referred to her as heading up their team, whatever that is, for child abuse. That's not part of her role, is it?
It's also not part of the child protection team system because we don't have such teams.
Is it part of her role or not?
Well, no, because it doesn't exist.
Let's look at 1001-0373. If you look at the bottom of this progress note when we get it up, that's 1001-0373. And if you look down here at the bottom, I think you'll see. Do you see that Dr. Smith is reviewing all of Maya's medical records? And this is some 3 weeks after Maya was put there. Do you see?
I do.
All right. And do you see that she is now agreeing with Dr. Hart and Dr. Smith, that's Michelle Smith, that we should proceed removing Maya's port as there's no indication for her to have a CVL? Do you see that?
I do.
Deciding whether or not to take out a CVL, a port, in a child's chest, that's not part of her role, is it?
No, she'd have to be the treating physician to actually write the order.
I understand, but becoming involved to the point where you're directing it, that's not part of her role either.
She's not directing it unless she's writing the order. Mm-hmm. So she is giving advice as to what she thinks she should do in this case based on her review.
All right. So let's take a look at 2277-068. And we're discussing here the video, I believe. And you see down here that Dr. Smith on the risk management, I'll represent to you, this is a note from risk management. And you see below that it says okay from risk.
I do.
And you see below that videotaping?
Right.
And you see no order.
Right.
All right. So in this instance, if there was no order and risk management is looking to Sally Smith, that's not part of her role either, is it?
You know, I don't know what this note really means.
Okay.
So I can't really answer your question.
All right. So, Sally Smith being a member of various of the hospital's committees, that's not part of her role, is it? I'm not asking about being a doctor. I'm just asking about her role for CPT.
CPT doesn't ask that you be on any committees at any hospital.
And Sally Smith worked for you for over a decade, right?
As I was the statewide medical director, so yes, she did work for me.
Well, let me ask you an ultimate question. Sally Smith should not have been running Maya's treatment in any way, shape, or form, should she?
Right. She'd have to be a treating physician, and my understanding, she was not.
Anything further, Mr. Hunter?
Just briefly, first of all, did you see any indication that Dr. Sally Smith was running the treatment team for Maya Kowalski?
I didn't. Again, she'd have to have written an order, you know, in the chart saying, you know, I order up this lab test or I do something else like that. That was done by others. So she might have given it, well, she did give advice at times, but that's not a treating physician.
Okay. So is giving advice on such things as whether a central line might come out, is that part of her role as a CPT medical director?
It is.
That's all I have for now. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Anderson,
it wasn't just giving advice. She was giving direction there. Do you agree?
I think you'd have to ask the parties involved in that. Technically, from what I'm seeing written, it looks like advice. But if they interpreted that she was giving direction and she was in charge, I don't see that in the notes.
All right, but the question is, it would not be part of her role.
Right, for her to be a treating physician would not, that would be not a CPT role, that would be an attending physician role.
And nothing further.
Members of the jury, do any of you have any questions? Alexander, the jury has a number of questions. Members of the jury, I'll be able to ask most, but not all of the questions. Is there any conflict of interest in a medical director of CPT to access a medical record through means outside DCF, through medical privileges from their private practice?
It depends. I can't just access anybody's records. That's major trouble, you know, just to cruise around and look at records. But if I had somebody that called me up and directed me to a particular person and said they had some question and part of the process of helping them with their question, that would be okay. But it wouldn't be okay just to, you know, just check anybody out willy-nilly and, you know, see what their record is.
Is the pursuit of acting as a liaison and educational support for emergency physicians within the scope of expectation of the role?
Could you ask that again?
Is the pursuit of acting as a liaison and educational support for emergency pediatricians within the scope of expectation of the role? I think it's a medical director.
Sure. Oh, well, is a CPT medical personnel.
CPT medical director.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Even within their own assigned jurisdiction, where the doctor plays an integral role educating doctors in their own case?
Right. Right. That's part of what we do.
Since Dr. Smith is part of a structure designed to assess fairly a medical situation, do you think this could contribute to the potential for young doctors to misconstrue that advice?
Well, if the question is she an authority figure that people are going to look up to and think that, you know, she knows something about this area? Well, of course, that's what her job is to do that, if I'm interpreting that question correctly. In the way that I would look up to a cardiologist, because they know more about that than I do.
Why wouldn't the Department of Children and Families, in representing the interests of the state, provide a separate ID for identity to identify their representatives while they are pursuing their investigation?
Well, I don't know about the Department of Children and Families, but we're not the Department of Children and Families at all. And we're not a Dr. Smith would, as medical director, would have derived some salary from the Department of Health. And so to some extent, they might regard her as a Department of Health, but not DCF. And that we draw a really clear line that we're different than DCF.
Next, does the hospital have to call Dr. Sally Smith first? Is there any harm in a hospital staff calling the hotline as a reporter, is there? There's no harm in a hospital staff calling the hotline as a mandatory reporter, is there?
No, in fact, that's usually what happens. Is usually we hear about this because it has been reported to DCF. But if they have a question or they want to sometimes give us a heads up, you know, this is in process, we sometimes hear from the hospital on that. We certainly do that in Jacksonville, and we do it around the state.
You testified there were several reports / calls to CPT. Are you testifying that there were more than one call placed before the hospital called Dr. Sally Smith?
In terms of attempted reports to DCF, yes.
Okay. Was the first call not accepted by CPT, and that is why Dr. Tepa reached out to Dr. Sally Smith to see if the hospital had enough information on abuse to make the call?
Yeah, except it, CPT doesn't accept calls. DCF accepts calls. It's their hotline, not ours. It would be, it may well be, and I guess you'd have to ask them, but I agree with the general proposition that she was trying to see if Sally Smith thought there was something there or not.
In your testimony, you said something similar to a child protection specialist is not assigned to a hospital, but a zone or area. Am I correct?
That's right. We're structured so that we cover an area. So my Jacksonville team covers 8 counties, and we can go in, by state law, we can go into any hospital. We don't need privileges for child abuse issues, and we can see the child, and we can look at their records. So we're area-focused, county-focused. We're not hospital-focused.
At the time of Maya's 2016 visits to Tampa General and Johns Hopkins All Children, were those two hospitals in the same zone?
Tampa General is served by the Tampa Child Protection Team. And the other one, I'm sorry, was?
Johns Hopkins,
that's Pinellas. And those are separate child protection teams. I mean, obviously, they get patients that go back and forth. And so hopefully, they're getting some good communication between the two teams.
So Dr. Sally Smith would not have been the person assigned the Tampa zone?
Right. So if there was a formal report, and it had a report had to be generated just for Tampa stuff alone, then I would expect that that would be the Tampa CPT team that would actually come in and do that. But again, if there's records from other places and your final destination is, say, Pinellas, then I'd expect that the Pinellas person gathers all that information, writes a report.
Is it normal for Sally Smith, acting in a DCF capacity, to even offer medical advice to Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital on a juvenile patient while she is not to be a doctor at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, but now in the hat of a DCF investigator?
Well, she's not a DCF investigator. Once again, I'm sorry, but we are not DCF. We are Department of Health, and the medical directors of the state, we've had meetings on this since 2004, and we're very particular about that point. The conflict of interest for Sally Smith would be as if this was a patient in her private practice, in which case she might have to recuse herself and have a different medical provider do something. So that's the conflict. It's not the fact that she works at a hospital in which she might also have to see a CPT case.
The juror just said, please replace DCF with the initials you need to identify today. So.
Okay.
So let me just re-ask the question. Is it normal for Dr. Sally Smith, acting as the medical director of the child protection team, capacity to offer medical advice to Johns Hopkins Children's Hospital on a juvenile patient while she is not to be a doctor at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, but now in the hat of the medical director of the child protection team?
It's normal and expected.
Mr. Hunter, any further questions? Mr. Anderson.
Follow up to the juror's question on the timeline. So was your understanding there was a first call, a hotline, right? And then are we in agreement there? Obviously there was.
We are, yeah. There was, yeah.
And then there was a second call from the hospital, Dr. Tapa Sanchez, to Dr. Smith after that.
So we're talking about the first call being the call to the DCF hotline?
Right.
Yeah, okay. There was, and then some communication that went on between the two doctors.
Right. And then after that, a second call was made.
To DCF, yes.
And that one was accepted?
Yes.
Is it true that the threshold for the requirement of making a call is exceedingly low?
Well, it's low. I don't know if I say exceedingly.
So it's low.
It's a reasonable suspicion threshold.
Pretty subjective.
Well, purposely so.
Yeah. Okay. Sustained.
All right. But as a CPT, and again, how should I refer to her? A CPT, what? She's not a prosecutor. She's not an investigator. She's just a doctor, a CPT doctor.
Well, she's a pretty well-trained doctor, but I would say just a doctor. But, no, she's a CPT medical provider. She's the medical director for the Pinellas team.
All right. But when she steps into whatever role she has at Johns Hopkins, she's not able to violate a parent's right to control medical treatment for the child, is she?
Not in the sense of just normal treatment, but she's certainly entitled to perform CPT functions as specified in state law.
No further questions.
Anything further, Mr. Hunter?
Yes, Your Honor.
Looks like I have another juror question coming. Just the one.
just the one. Sir, is Sally Smith with CPT, the Department of Health, or any others? Who does she work for?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part of that.
Who does she work for?
In that role, she works with her particular team, but the medical directors that aren't part of universities, which she would have been, they had some direct deposits. The way that DOH structured it is for the process of administration, not for seeing kids, but just administration, they would directly pay the medical directors around the state. Again, not for those of us that work at universities. It's a different situation. And then her team would pay her, you know, they have the contract from the Department of Health, and their team would then pay her for clinical things, like seeing kids, things along that line. I think most of her pay was actually private practice, which was different than child protection team altogether.
Any follow-up, Mr. Hunter?
Briefly, Your Honor, just to try to clarify a couple things. What state agency controls the child protection team program?
The Department of Health.
But does the do the teams advise and serve as a resource to the Department of Children and Families?
We do. Police, prosecutors, you know, people that are authorized. But in the legal intro, as you, perhaps you all know, is it's we're there to assist Department of Children and Families, but we're not them.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm getting the right answer here. You were aware that Dr. Sally Smith had a private practice as well, a pediatrics practice.
Right. Being medical director in Pinellas County is not a full-time job. It was part-time.
So she had three different
jobs? I'm sorry?
Three different jobs? If you call her private practice a job, I would.
Well, I would call that a job, right.
So the CPT and then whatever role the hospital.
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustain. I sustain the objection.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I have one more question, Doctor. but it was in regard to one of the last questions before. Am I allowed to ask it?
I don't know. I mean, you, it's your time. The time clock is ticking, so...
Are CPT doctors allowed or encouraged to change their opinions as they progress through their evaluation?
Yes. We write addendums if something significant comes along, or sometimes we order up lab tests or x-rays, and they're not immediately available. We're supposed to get all our reports done within 10 days, but you know, some things take longer than that, and so if things come up, we'll write an addendum.
Thank you.
Nothing further on.
Anything else from the jury?
Oh.
Well, Mr. Hunter, did you have another question?
No, I was going to ask Your Honor about an issue.
I think you'll be visiting with me in a moment.
I think we'll have our chance. Okay.
Members of the jury, there's another question, Doctor. Is a doctor with a private practice, quote, not a job, end quote? What do you call a doctor with a private practice?
It it's a job. Being a pediatrician and seeing kids is definitely a job.
Anything further, Mr. Hunter?
No, sir.
Anything further, Mr. Anderson?
No, Your Honor.
Anything further, members of the jury? Okay, members of the jury, I think this is a good time for us to take a break. It's probably going to be a healthy 15 minutes. Do not discuss this case amongst yourselves. Do not do any investigation and receive no information.
All rise. Jury is executed.
Okay, the jury is out of our presence. Does everyone please have a seat? Madam Court Reporter, we're going to mark this part of the transcript as the beginning of a proffer. Dr. Alexander, there's going to be several questions that are asked that are outside the presence of the jury, so we're going to start with Mr. Hunter.
I'm going to make this kind of a summary oral proffer, Your Honor. Doctor, have you reviewed the report? Well, first of all, have you reviewed in some detail the records that Dr. Sally Smith accumulated in her review of the Maya Kowalski case?
Yes.
And have you also reviewed the reports that she rendered as a result of her review of those records and her evaluation of Maya Kowalski and her discussions with the Kowalski family and others?
Yes.
Based on that review, do you have an opinion that you can express within a reasonable degree of medical probability with respect to whether Dr. Sally Smith's conduct complied with the standard of care expected of CPT medical directors in conducting their review of a case such as Maya Kowalski's?
I do have an opinion, yes.
And what is that opinion, sir?
The opinion is that, yes, it did conform to what I would expect a medical director or a CPT medical provider to do.
Okay. And do you believe that her conclusions, as stated in that report, are appropriate and within the standard of practice for CPT medical directors?
Yes.
Okay. That's all I have, sir.
Mr. Anderson.
So your standard of care would include leaving out reports from almost all of the non-Johns Hopkins, non-TGF, non-Lurie's large hospital doctors.
Objection, argument.
You can answer.
I thought she reviewed some of those things, so I'd have to know the details of which things you're talking about that are there or not. But I know she did a lot of follow-up with various providers and things, and so I'm not quite sure what you're referring to.
Sure. Did it come to your attention that her report did not mention the strong opinion of Dr. Kirkpatrick?
She didn't document that opinion in her report as such. I believe she attempted to contact him. I can't remember if he was the one that she was saying unable to contact, or she did contact him.
She did contact him. She did not put it in the report. All right. And is the standard of care also to leave out Eagle's Wings counseling and instead represent that the Kowalskis were not having any counseling?
Well, if she didn't know it and she said that there was no counseling, then that would be what she knew at the time.
What if she had the records right there in front of her and she left them out? Would that meet your standard of care?
No, I mean, then she shouldn't have said there was no counseling if she knew there was.
And nobody's brought you up to speed, I guess, on Maya's relapses since all this occurred in 2016, 2017.
Not well enough. I mean, I've heard sort of vague stuff, and I'd hesitate to have this court think that I know it well enough to give a valid opinion.
Very good. Thank you, Doctor.
Anything further, Mr. Hunter?
That's it, Justice.
May this doctor be excused from all subpoenas and allowed to return to Jacksonville.
As far as I'm concerned.
No objection, Your Honor. Drive safely, Doctor.
Thank you so much.
Have a good day.
Thanks.
Anything before we go on our break?
We can do it now or after the break, Your Honor. We found the letter that should have been attached to that email that was admitted this morning.
Let's go ahead and put it up real quick.
I have a copy for the court since it looks like our
tech person.
May I approach? Sure. Yeah, I have a copy for you as well.
There it is.
And so, remind me, is 24 08. What did I do earlier today?
So what you admitted earlier today, Your Honor, was how the defense had marked it as 3192. This is how, or I'm sorry, 3192 was the defense's marking.
No, I don't think that's right. Give me a second. It is, in fact, 3315.
No, 3315 was excluded. That was to Dr. Cantu.
All right, hold on.
It's 3192 on the first page of your exhibit
list. Right.
So it was admitted as 3192. We could either make it 3192A with this additional page, or we could admit it as what we had marked it as 2408.
What I would suggest is that we just have this added. We'll have someone on our team make it 3192A, and we'll attach it, and so it'll be right after 3192.
So long as it's going to be clear to the jury that they go together.
We'll put it with 3192, if that's it.
That's fine. Why don't you get with the technical folks, and then when you come back, advise what it is so we can make sure that the clerk also has it.
Yeah, I just don't know if the 3193 exists, so that's why I'm suggesting we do 3192 and 3192A.
Anything else before we take our break?
No more for the plaintiff unless you've got something there.
Anything else from the defense?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, let's take a 10-minute break. 10 minutes.
All rise. Closing recess.
Whatever the court wants to do.
We can plan that.
Okay. All right. So that will be what we'll conclude the morning.
That'll take us almost to noon.
Right. Right. That was our thought.
I am going to go prepare a rebuttal. Keep leaving the hands of Ms. Lawrence.
Okay.
And Nick.
Ms. Lawrence is fine.
Judge, and as to the rehearing on countering Smith's testimony, she always wears a lab coat. Will the court be deciding that today at some point?
I will be after lunch.
Thank you, Judge. Appreciate it.
Anything else that you need, Mr. Anderson, before you leave?
Not on my part, Nick. Anything else? Here. No? Okay. I'm leaving. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, are we ready to bring back the jury?
Yes, Your Honor.
At some point, I'll need the designation breakdowns for those two depositions.
Oh, yeah.
Time-wise. Okay, please be seated. Members of the jury, want to confirm while you're away, you did not discuss this case amongst yourselves, you did no investigation, and received no information. Is that all correct?
Correct.
We have two different depositions to play next, which will cumulatively take us about an hour and 15 minutes, so we should be finishing this right about noon so we can break for lunch. Okay. I'm assuming we leave the lights as is. It's okay. We'll leave the lights as is. Ms. Corrales.
Yes, it has to call Sharon O'Leary Johnson.
Ma'am, will you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give today be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Good morning, Ms. O'Leary Johnson. My name is David Hughes. I represent Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital. How are you doing this morning?
Great.
So let's go ahead and get started. Can you please state your name and professional address for the record, please?
Sharon O'Leary Johnson in the Guardian Light office here in Sarasota.
All right. Can you please give me the benefit of your educational background from where you went to high school all the way through any degrees or licenses you may have obtained over the years?
Okay. I went to Rufford Union High School in the Detroit area. I graduated from Michigan State University with a bachelor's in education. I got a master's at Central Michigan University in educational administration. And I am all but dissertated out of Michigan State in organizational behavior / development and instructional design.
Okay, can you please just briefly outline the types of things you did throughout your career in the realm of education?
I taught elementary school, sixth grade. I was a principal of two different alternative high schools. And then I went into business and I worked for various companies developing training programs and training strategies.
Can you please explain in a little bit more detail the types of positions you've held in education and just give me a general timeline of when you served in those roles?
Okay, 1980, I taught sixth grade for 2 years. And then probably from 84, 85 to 90 or so, I was a principal of two different alternative high schools. And then probably from 94 to 2017 or 18, I worked in the business area. I worked for Frito-Lay, I worked for Nestle, and I worked as an independent contractor or consultant. And I developed training programs and strategies usually for frontline workers.
Okay. How was it that you came to become a guardian ad litem volunteer?
I was involved in the Texas and Dallas area in the Children's Advocacy Center as a donor and also as worked on committees for golf things. Then when I moved to Florida, I was going to be partially retired because in my job, I travel a lot. And so I was partially retiring, so I thought I had the time. So I went in to look at becoming a guardian ad litem.
Approximately when did you first start serving as a guardian ad litem here in Florida?
Let's say 7 years ago, like 2014 or 15, somewhere around there.
Okay. And approximately how many cases have you volunteered for with the Guardian Ad Litem's office there in Sarasota?
Five.
Okay. And do you handle multiple cases at a time, or do you typically handle one case at a time?
One case at a time.
Okay. My understanding is that you served as my Kowalski guardian ad litem back in 2016 and 2017. Is that correct?
Yes.
How was it that you came to be involved with my Kowalski's case?
I was asked by my manager if I would be interested in taking that case, because I didn't, I finished off my other case.
Okay. And who was the manager?
Jessica Black. Jessica Black something. I forget the last name.
I believe it's Black Rick. Does that sound familiar?
No, that's it.
Okay. So why don't you walk me a little bit through what Mrs. Black Rick's role in a situation like Mike Kowalski's case would have been versus what your role was?
I can tell you what my role was.
Okay. And why don't we start there?
My role was to visit Maya, talk with her, and make observations, and make sure her educational needs were being met.
What does that mean to you as a guardian ad litem that you're serving to further the child's best interest?
It means when there is a court case, to ask the child, depending on the age, one, if they want to go, or what they want to say to the court, and to advocate to make sure that if they want certain things, or if they have certain requests, for an example, if somebody wanted to go to summer camp, or somebody wanted to go play soccer, or do something that is normal, for normalcy for other kids, that I try to work with different people, guardian fund, my manager, or whatever, to try to make things like that happen. And in some cases, I mean, to make sure that the place they're at is safe, and to make sure they're getting, you know, medical, like if they need a dentist visit, or where they are on those kinds of things.
And my understanding is from time to time that you also enter notes around the time of some of your visits. Is that correct?
Correct.
And did you do that in this case with Maya Kowalski, enter notes around the time of your visits with her?
Yes.
And have you had a chance to review those notes before today?
Yes.
And when you say notes, what are you talking about?
It was printed out what I had written down in Optima.
All right. And what is Optima?
Optima is an application that's used by the guardian ad litem to document. I use it to document my notes, and I believe, I don't know what everybody else uses it for.
And my understanding is that on a few occasions you went and visited Maya Kowalski at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital.
Correct.
Do you recall, separate and apart, anything that you may have documented? And we'll go through your documentation, but separate and apart from what you may have documented, as you sit here today, do you have an independent recollection of your observations of Maya Kowalski?
No.
Okay. So when I say the name Maya Kowalski, what comes to mind?
A little girl I visited at the hospital who liked her little Shopkins and liked to play the piano.
All right. So it's fair to say that you took an oath to serve as the guardian ad litem for Maya Kowalski in this case?
Yes.
Can you just describe in general terms what it was, what your understanding of the role it was you were to perform here was?
To visit and observe Maya to make sure that she was getting her needs met, and to advocate for her in court.
Well, let's go to your first visit then, which we can find here on GAL 14. Are you able to view that and read it? Or would you like me to blow it up a little bit more?
No, I can read it. So you're referring to the one on October 24th?
Yeah, it says name Sharon O'Leary Johnson, case number, activity date 10/24/16, activity type contacted child in current placement, subject visit in hospital. Do you see that?
Yes, I got it. I just want to make sure I'm reading the right one. So I'm reading it.
Just from a foundational standpoint, the document we're looking at here on GAL 14, do you recognize that as your note that you prepared following a visit with Maya on October 24th, 2016?
Yes.
Okay. Having read that note, does the note trigger any recollection about your first visit with Maya at the hospital on the 24th?
More live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.